Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Angela Hirsch. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
So Angela wears many hats in the community. She works as executive director of RACS.
Correct.
Has done some work with the Housing Task Force.
I have.
The reason why we're talking to her today is she's also chairwoman of the Public Transit Advocacy Committee.
Correct. Yes, I am.
We had a story recently about there's a move afoot to increase the fares for transit. So we thought this is a good opportunity to just let's talk about transit and its role in the community. So my thought first would be, Angela, let's talk just an overview of transit, like how many buses, what kind of services are provided in the current setup?
In the world of transit here in Jefferson City, there are really two types of transportation vehicles that are available. The first is the standard city bus that mm-hmm. you see, the large city buses that have what are called fixed routes around town that run from about 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Then the second vehicle that is available to citizens is what's called handy wheels, which are the smaller, almost minibus type mm-hmm. vehicles that you yep. see. Those vehicles are available for individuals that have either a medical or physical need where they can't utilize the regular transportation system. And the handy wheels is able to go provide a door-to-door service for people. So if we might have an elderly citizen, for example, who might have some health needs and needs transportation for doctor's visits or needs transportation to meet some of their basic needs, like getting to the grocery store, those rides are available at a higher fee than the regular transit system for that door-to-door service. And that door-to-door service has to be made in advance
okay.
through the transit department. In terms of the regular transit system, the larger buses, I want to say there's 23 buses. Okay. Don't quote me on that for right. certain. But they, like I said, those run on regular fixed routes. Mm-hmm. And those are available for anybody in the community for any need, any service. People utilize transit for work. People utilize transit for shopping. There's a saying that people who utilize public transportation use it to either spend money or to make money.
Okay.
And that's a really good way of looking at any public transportation system within the United States, including here in Jefferson City.
Right. And so they would basically use the bus, the transit network. If they had a doctor's appointment, they might have to make a couple connections to get to one of the hospitals.
That is correct. And the way that they've set it up here in Jefferson City, they've tried to do it in a way that people shouldn't have to make more than one connection, meaning that they shouldn't have to bounce from more than two buses to get to their final destination. And they've done a pretty good job of doing so. You know, another great option that we have here in Jefferson City that was an incredible service for me personally when my children were younger, JeffTran has what's called the Tripper Route for school-age children. And the Tripper Route is an opportunity for school children who can't utilize a public school bus system.
Right.
to get home from school. So kids in the parochial schools, even kids in the Jefferson City public schools who maybe aren't able to utilize the school bus can use the Tripper Route and utilize a public bus to get from school to home safely, secure. And that for me as a working mom when my kids were little was a great resource because
sure.
I knew that when they got out of school, the bus was going to pick them up right outside of school and literally drop them off right in front of our house,
oh.
even though we didn't live on a bus stop. And I know a lot of families to this day that still depend on the Tripper Route.
Yeah.
That's a service that's not offered in all communities, and we're very fortunate here in Jefferson City to have that. So I think that one of the things that JeffTran really does within our community is it looks at the needs of the whole community and tries to figure out how all of the different transportation needs that we have can be met and how JeffTran can be a resource in meeting those needs.
Okay. So let's insert a little commercial here. So let's say I'm a user and that I want to use transit. And so obviously there are bus stops all around town that are very noticeable. But what are other ways that you can access where the buses are and how you can actually gauge where you can best get to?
So there's a couple of ways you can do that. One, you can go online to the city's website, and there's a map under transit that shows you all of the different stops and routes and services that you can use. The other is JeffTrain has invested in an app, a live app, that will show you where the bus is, when it will arrive at your stop, an estimated time of arrival, that kind of thing, and then where that bus is going. The other thing is connected to that app on the buses, they have incorporated the voice-activated notifications that will tell you what stop is coming up. So it's almost like if you've ever ridden the subway in New York, for example, and it says, you know, next stop, Fifth Avenue or whatever, similar service that's available on the buses.
Where can one download the app?
It's a really good question. You'll have to ask the transit people that.
All right.
I know that it's available through the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, pretty much anywhere you get your phone apps.
All right. We'll add those to our show notes also, so that way folks can have easy access to it. So given these programs exist in town, why are we increasing the fares?
So here's the thing about the fares in Jefferson City. We have not had an increase in fares for our public transportation system since 2017, I believe. And at that point in time, the regular fare rate went from 50 cents a ride to a dollar a ride. Since 2017, costs for transit have not remained stagnant.
Right.
Costs have increased, the cost of maintaining the buses have increased, the cost of fuel has increased, the cost of staff has increased, etc. And I have served on the Public Transit Advisory Committee for about 7 years now. And in those 7 years, we've had many a discussion about whether or not we need to increase fares. And we've always come back with no. This is not something that we are willing to recommend at this time. During this last budgetary process with the city, there was a real risk of the budget for transit being cut. And in those discussions with the budget committee, with the public works committee, and with city council in general, one of the comments that kept coming back to me from those members as the chair of the advisory council was, we have to work together. We have to do some give and take. And I took that message back to the advisory committee. And we are strongly advocating for maintaining transit, recognizing the economic development part that transit is in our community, as well as the service that it is to our community. But at the same time, recognizing that it takes a lot of money to have a service like this in our community. In a show of good faith, if you would, we went back to the city council and to the public works committee and said, we are willing to look at the possibility of increasing fares from $1 to $1.50 for the regular fare rate, knowing that this is not going to make up the budget, if you would, for transit, but recognizing that, yes, it's probably time that we look at the cost of living in general and the cost that comes with having this service in our community. Where we are at this point is at the very, very beginning of this. We have looked at opening up a public survey, hosting a public meeting to talk about the impact that an increase in fares will have on the regular ridership, and also what that might do to the possibilities of increasing ridership, or would that decrease ridership? Right. And I don't know the answers to that yet.
Yeah.
We'll find that out later.
Well, and I think that's an interesting aspect to think of, too. When you're talking about transit, my assumption, and I think it's probably the public's assumption, is it's used most by folks with limited incomes. Otherwise, they'd have a car, you know, or some other means of transportation. So you certainly enter into any fare increase with that understanding that it's going to have an effect on your riders. And certainly, most economists would say that, yeah, if you raise the price, the ridership will likely decline a bit, at least initially. But I think the other thing we haven't really talked about is transit's a unique beast, if you will, in that about 9%, I believe, according to our story, 9% of its funding comes from ridership fees.
Correct. Right? Very, very small percentage, yes. Right.
Everything else comes from federal, state,
and the city.
Right. So kind of walk us through how the funding picture is kind of pieced together for transit.
So for transit in our community, like you said, ridership fees are a very, very small amount. The majority of funding for transit comes from the federal government and federal grants that come into the city to support transit. But those federal grants don't only support the buses. Those federal grants also support things like the service garage where not only are buses serviced, but also police vehicles, fire vehicles, all of the city vehicles. There's an incredible amount of money that comes into Jefferson City because we have a public transit system and because we have that tie to the U.S. Department of Transportation. In addition to that, the city kicks in just over $1 million a year to subsidize the transit system. That is not at all unusual for a city. Mm-hmm. There is no transit system in this country that is not subsidized by the city of which it is in. Transit is not a moneymaker. It was never created to be a moneymaker. It will never be a moneymaker. It is a service for the community, but it is also part of the global economy of a community, right, if you would, right? Right? So when you're looking at the budget of the transit system here in Jefferson City, you have to take all of that into account. And you have to recognize that, yes, those who tend to utilize the public transit system on a regular basis do tend to be those individuals who most people might think might be on the lower end of the earning income. However, there are a significant portion of people, particularly young people today, who utilize public transportation not because they have to, but because they want to. They don't want to drive. They don't want to own a car. They want to live in communities where public transportation, biking, walking, all of those things are easily accessible because it costs a lot of money to own a vehicle, mm-hmm, right? And so if I can live near or in downtown and have easy access to my workplace, or if I can have the amenities that make it easy to use other sources of transportation like biking, like a public transit system, I'm going to do that as a 24, 25, 26-year-old young professional coming in to this community or being in this community, because that's an expense that I don't necessarily have to have and really may not need. If we can kind of target those young professionals as well and give them those opportunities to better utilize transit, that would be great. I think the long range plan, at least the goal for the advisory committee, is to make transit not only more accessible, but also make it more usable. And when I say more usable, what I mean is, how do we figure out how can we increase transit's hours? How can we get some sort of a weekend service, even if it's a Saturday morning service, that kind of thing? Because that's what we hear most often from people, is that I would use public transit, but it doesn't meet my needs. I could use it to get to work if I work a second shift, but I can't get home from work because of it. So those are some things that we really have to look at as a community that we have to continue to talk about, because as lucky as we are to have it, we need to start thinking about how do we make it better. And when we've always talked about increasing transit fees in the past, one of the arguments against increasing is, what are people going to get for that extra 50 cents a ride?
Right.
Right. And truth be told, at this point, that extra 50 cents a ride is going to get us to keep transit.
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the interesting aspects is, much of this came out during the city's budget work, where they had some tough choices to make there. And it's a natural to look at how much money is put into transit and how much transit ridership brings in. And it asks some good, healthy questions. But I found one of the interesting aspects of it, and I believe you may have been the one that brought it up, is this idea of transit as an economic development tool.
Absolutely.
But again, it's a double-edged sword there, because you're right. The issue is ridership.
Right.
That it's not conducive to folks who have to work beyond 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So what paths might there be forward that would allow us to even consider those weekend days or even later hours? What are some ways where we might get to that spot?
So I think that there are probably a couple of different things that can be looked at. We're in a state of opportunity with transit, if you would, right now. You know, Mark Mamert, who is transit director for about the last 7 years or so, has retired. They're going to be bringing in a new director of transit, whether that be somebody who's currently with us or they bring somebody brand new in now, I don't know. But that creates an opportunity to really maybe have some fresh eyes look at our transit system and what might be some opportunities to do some different things. If we want to expand with what we have right now, do we do that by maybe, do we cut routes so that we can increase the hours? And there are some people who don't like that. They like the idea that transit touches every area of the city.
Sure.
And that's one thing I think that people don't realize either, is the way transit is written into our charter right now as a community cannot serve outside of the city limits of the city of Jefferson. So maybe do we get the county to come in and support transit a bit so that maybe then transit could go outside the city, provide some services to some of those county areas just outside the city limits and help support the financial resources as well. Do we look at, you know, what would we have to do with the FTA to possibly increase those grants and that funding that comes in? Or what's the city willing to do to kick in some additional monies to make transit more for the community?
Right.
You know, one of the things that came up during the budget meetings that we talked about, one of the questions that was constantly asked of me is, how do we fill this $1 million hole the transit has? The reality is that was not a new hole. $1 million, $1.1 million, is on average what the city has put into transit for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. What was different of the past 2 years was the city didn't have to invest that $1.1 million into transit because the federal government had so much money that was coming in to support transit that relieved the city's burden. When that government funding ended, most of that was made up of things like the CARES Act and the recovery monies and those types of things. When that money ended, we came back to the city and said, okay, we have to pick this up again. In my opinion, that should not have been a surprise to city leaders. Yeah. My question more so is, well, what have you done with the $2.2 million over the last 2 years? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. So one thing that strikes me is I know one of the plans is transit is bringing on a couple new buses that are more green, if you will.
Correct.
I'm curious, though, will they be the same size buses as the large city buses? Because I'm always struck by this idea that if there was something between the sizes, between the large bus and the handy wheels, for instance, mm-hmm. where it was almost like a shuttle. You know, you think of the car dealers that have those shuttle services for when you're getting your car in the shop. To me, that would be like the perfect size for some of these industries, right?
Right. So here's the thing about the size of the buses. I learned this when I joined the committee. So the electric buses that we're looking at, they'll be a hybrid, mm-hmm. run on gas and on electric. In Jefferson City, the geography makeup of our community will not allow us to have 100% electric bus because the electric buses cannot make it up the hills in
those
this town.
Those darn hills.
It's true. I know, right?
But it's easy going down.
It's easy going down, but you can't get them up. So the full electric buses aren't going to work. But the hybrid buses are what we're purchasing for these next two that are coming in. The two that are coming in, my understanding is they are a bit smaller than the current ones that we have. Not by a lot. I think they're going like from 28 feet to 26 feet. The cost of maintaining the larger buses is less than maintaining the smaller shuttles.
Yeah. That's, to me, it's like fast food versus healthy food.
Exactly, exactly.
Fast food's always cheaper.
Yep.
But I'm curious, do you see any other participants or partners to try to tackle this transit issue? You know, whether it's beyond the city, federal, and state.
Oh, yeah. I think that employers are open to this. I know Scholastic, for example, they have always been a challenge because they are literally right outside the city limit. So there have been discussions with Transit and Scholastic about how do we create opportunity for Scholastic employees to be able to utilize transit. Is there something that they can do to help support that? Unilever, same thing. When we look at our manufacturing giants here in this community and those that have like those second and third shifts, how do we create an opportunity for their employees to be able to utilize public transit on those shifts? And is there a way to create a partnership between industry and city government for those resources?
Yeah.
I think that there's a possibility. It's up to powers higher than myself to make those things happen.
Sure. But I think certainly the challenges in the workforce right now are adding more leverage to those discussions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the ways that folks can express how they perceive transit or how what they would want in transit is through the survey that you mentioned.
Correct.
So it kind of gives an idea of how, if I wanted to take the survey, how I would access it.
So the survey is available on, I know it's available through social media. So Jeff Train has a Facebook page. You can go there and access the survey on the Transit's Facebook page. I believe you can also access the survey through the city's website. And there's just a couple of questions, and basically it depends on how you answer the questions, how many questions you get throughout the survey. So, for example, if you are somebody who's interested in transit, but you answer that, no, I never write it, you're going to get maybe two questions, right? If you're somebody who is a frequent writer of transit, you'll get more to answer. The other opportunity that you have is through the public meeting that is coming up on November 9th at City Hall in the Chamber Room. And the survey will be available at that public meeting as well, is my understanding.
Yeah, the public meeting starts at 4:30 on November 9th at City Hall. Angela, so let's wrap this up. I guess I have one question.
Yes.
Try to explain to me or to those who are listening why transit is an important issue that Jeff City needs to embrace at this time.
So there is this common thought, if you would, that public transportation is a social service. And although public transportation does provide a service to the community, it is so much more than just something for people who can't afford anything else to use. It is a true part of our economic environment, of our economic engine, as a part of our community's economic development. And when we are looking for opportunities as a community to grow, and there's been a lot of talk lately about community growth or the lack thereof, one of the things that employers, that developers, that investors look for in a community is a public transportation system. Because if I am somebody, if I'm an investor, and I'm looking at a community in which I want to invest my resources into, whether that be through a business incubator, whether that be through an industrial plant, whether that be through a housing development, whatever. One of the things that I want to look for are the people that I'm going to bring into this community because of what I'm investing, going to be able to access all of the amenities within that community. Public transportation plays a part in accessing those amenities, number one. Number two, the people who provide those amenities or those services, the people that we rely upon, that we said were the frontline essential workers during the pandemic, right, rely on public transportation to provide those services to you and me. I heard somebody complaining not long ago about how long they had to wait in a fast food drive-through because they had so few workers. Many of those workers depend on public transportation if they live in this community. So we have to make sure that we have the resources in place where people can be successful in the jobs in which they are in so that our community can be successful, so that our community as a whole can thrive. And we as a community have a responsibility not just to the most powerful in our community, but more importantly to our most vulnerable in our community. And transit is one of those tools that meets both of those ends.
All right. Well said. Angela, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.